Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rach, how's your week been?
Fan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Listen, before you got on, we were talking about the heat. Is the heat getting to you? Is the heat getting to you? Whoa. The way you talked about my beloved Dallas and the 105 degree weather that you were in for multiple days and how you'd wake up in the morning and it was 90 something and you go to sleep at night and it was still in the 90s. We are going through what they're calling a heat dome right now. I've never even heard of something like that. You watch the news. It's like a dome of redness of how far reaching this heat wave is right now. In LA, and you're not talking about it. It's literally 106 degrees right now.
Okay, this is a good point. I have to admit. First of all, I just want to let you know that I love Dallas. I told you this, but we focus on the negative. So the fact that I said it's hot in Dallas,
that's all you would talk about. Right. You would screenshot the weather for 5 days and post it.
It was funny. It is Mad Hatter, I'm not gonna lie. But because I'm still dealing with the jet lag, like I've been spending time in it fucks with me bad, right? It's dumb. Maybe it's my fat body. Maybe half of my fat body is still in Greece, you know? Maybe I left excess calories. Anyway. But to your point though, it is worth kicking somebody because like I just took Bozeman out. It's worth kicking somebody. Because I just took Bozeman out and we got outside and Bozeman never poops quickly. He really makes you earn it. Bozeman's like, nah, I'm about to use the bathroom. And like, it's a beautiful day out here. This time, Bozeman went right to the grass, boom, and then looked up at me like, let's get inside. I got fur. And it's very hot. Very hot outside.
I cannot believe you took Bozeman out at 3:00.
What you mean? What am I supposed to do?
You have to take him out early in the morning and then right at dusk. It's too hot for the animals to be out. Has Bozeman ever told you it's too hot by his paws?
Like maybe, but Bozeman's a big dog though.
Even worse.
What I'm saying is like he has to crap. He has to poop in the middle of the day. Was he gonna hold the poop and the pee? He's gotta go out in the middle of the day. You only take Copper out for two breaks. Copper only gets two, but Copper goes to doggy daycare, so he's got like a handmaiden that's probably like waiting on him.
Copper goes to daycare. Yes, he goes. But no, it's too hot for the dogs. It's too hot for him right now. Too hot. Poor Bozeman.
I got a new book in. It's called The Third Reconstruction by Peniel Joseph.
Oh, shout out to UT.
Shout out to UT. This is his. They're two jewels of UT. Rachel Lindsay and Peniel Joseph. Other than those two people, UT has never produced anything worth anything. But Peniel Joseph, you guys have to get this book. America's Struggle for Racial Justice in the 21st Century. Peniel Joseph is fantastic. He's got a new book. I'm not getting paid for this at all, but I got the book and I'm so excited to read it. And so I hope that you guys would read it too. Oh, look. He put me on the back of the thing. I didn't even realize this till now.
What does it say? Oh, okay.
A Marvel. So these are the people that are on the back of the thing. Michael Eric Dyson. I don't know. Whoever. But because I don't really know. But yeah, so it Peniel Joseph, the Third Reconstruction.
Know.
Yeah.
Wow. And he didn't know. I would like to correct you for a second. There are some other jewels that have come from University of Texas. One being Pretty Hair.
And the other Hair? Pretty Hair went there?
Yes. Oh. And the other being The Judge.
I'll be honest with you, though. Pretty Hair and The Judge are dope, but they ducked me when I was in Dallas, so I can't give them that same respect.
Don't do them like that. They did. I can't put their business out there. Don't do them like that.
Pretty Hair, they ghosted me.
They were very upset they couldn't. They were so excited. It almost like bothers me how much my parents really like you.
I wanted to go into chambers. I've never been in a judge's chambers before.
My dad would welcome you with open arms.
What does your dad wear under the judge robe?
A suit.
Really? It's just like a suit?
A full suit. Yes.
Can you wear whatever? Can you wear whatever you want?
Sure.
So if your dad wanted to wear like Hawaiian shorts and like you could do whatever you want.
That's so absolutely
dope. That's so dope. What else has been going on? I talked to Brian today about my back briefly. I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna go see him.
I'll be sure to tell him though you sent out a tweet requesting assistance with your back. But
yeah, of course.
Knowing you could have hit up Brian at the same time. You could do both.
I don't think you understand how intimidating it is to be around Brian.
He's fully clothed. He's not walking around.
But it's still, he's still super lean in the scrubs, though. You know how people kind of spill out of their scrubs a little bit? Not Brian. I think he got the extra small scrubs as well. The last time I was in there, Brian, be honest with me. Brian get his shit tailored, don't he?
No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. I swear.
Yes, he does. Brian doesn't get his scrubs off the rack. Brian get his shit tailored. When we were TMZ tour guides, one of the tour guides, Keith, who I've told you guys about, who eventually got fired for chasing somebody in the bathroom and asking for a tip. Keith was my man. Keith, one time I looked at him, I'm like, bruh, how does your shirt fit so well? You know what I mean? Because at that point, I was in the best shape, but the shirts are, they're boxy. They're not cut to, how's your shirt fit so well, bro? He goes, I'll get it tailored. I'm like, what?
It's a true professional.
Yeah, he's like, I take it to the tailor and I get the shirt tailored so that it's tailored to me. I'm like, God damn. And I see Brian. Me and Kalika went to his. I'm like, I look at Kalika. I'm like, the nigga got them scrubs tailored. That shit tailored, man.
Did you go today?
No, I didn't. I'm going to go next week. I'm going to go next week. I got people were sending me DMs on Twitter about last week's Monday's podcast.
Wait, which part? Oh, people were upset about they were equally mad at both of us.
About what?
People were upset about your take on student loans, and they were very upset with me about my take on the therapist.
The therapist? We tried to get the therapist on the show. Do you think that we should have the therapist on the show?
I do. But I don't want to get her in any more trouble professionally.
That's the thing. But she's going to say something nuts.
But I do feel like she needs to say something, especially with the revelation of the other video that's come out, because you set me up for failure.
Actually, that's not true.
I had to defend. I wasn't going back. I had to fall on the sword and just keep going.
Okay.
I still wholeheartedly believe what I said though.
I want to clarify that I did not in any way set you up. What I was doing was reading the document and then realizing that video wasn't in there. And so I'm in real time, I'm doing that. And Donnie, didn't I send you the video? I'm like, yo, play this one. Cause I'm looking at it in real time and I'm realizing that video is not in there. I'm like, yo, play this one. Cause this one adds context to what a lot of people feel like were her thoughts. But yeah, so I'm sorry that looked like that. Yeah.
Is that what people were DMing you about?
No, people were DMing me about student loan forgiveness. I got so many loans. I got like a 3-fucking-page thing about student loan forgiveness.
It's because you don't have loans, right?
No.
So you're not with us. You don't get us. You're not.
I am definitely with y'all.
To give an analogy, maybe, of what we're going to talk about later, you are Jay-Z.
I'm the Jay-Z of student loans? What?
That's you.
I'm a gangster capitalist.
There's a disconnect.
So why? Why do you feel like there's a disconnect? What did I say do you feel like that was so wrong with student loan forgiveness?
Do you not remember as you were talking and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I really was expecting you to be like, no, I'm just kidding. But it was as if you didn't understand. You almost made it seem like it's our fault that we choose education. And making that choice, we have to understand the consequence of that they're going to be loans. And you weren't giving any kind of, I guess, weight towards that the loans are outrageous. And they're like benefiting off of us. They're telling us we need an education. You weren't giving that side any weight, which was shocking to me. Greece, you know, maybe you go, you live this fabulous, luxurious vacation, in Greece. You're on yachts.
Oh,
you're on
yeah.
the water.
Oh, yeah.
You're just eating at five-star restaurants.
Ooh, stars. Drinking the ill.
Disrespecting the food. Yeah, drinking ill, oh, then throwing it up. You know what I mean? Like, turning your nose at it. You come back, you're a changed man. You're a different person. You are the Jay-Z of student loans.
I'm the bourgeoisie of student loans. Look, I had somebody that told me how inappropriate the analogy that I made about moving to LA was. And I thought about it.
Okay.
I think it's a perfect analogy. Let me tell you why. I wanted to be in entertainment. Right? If I want to be in entertainment, like the person that wrote me said, like, you didn't have to move to LA. I had to go to school. That's not true. I had to move to Los Angeles to do what I'm doing. Had to move to Los Angeles to do what I'm doing, right? Had to. There's no way around it. So at some point, for me to be able to plan to move to LA, number one, there were no loans that I could take out to do that. Maybe there were, but I didn't know. So I have to understand what that's going to cost me. I think that if anything, what I'm not saying that people don't have to go to school. They definitely have to go to school. But the fact that you have to go to school doesn't mean that you shouldn't factor in what it's going to cost you to go to school. Because I look at this the same way I look at reparations. They definitely should pay reparations to Black Americans, right? But what if they don't? Like, what if they don't? How are we going to succeed in America at the economic sort of disadvantage that we have now if they never make it right? Because they don't have to. And on the student loan front, unless we're going to subject another generation of people to having loans that they can't pay back, I think now is a good opportunity to have a conversation, a real conversation about people taking on this type of debt. And if you feel like you're still going to do it, still do it. But along with that conversation, we have to put maybe a cap on tuition, maybe. And we have to talk about sort of the way the schools and the loan people are, you know, playing games against America's working class. But having said that, there's still a component to this, and I don't understand why it's so controversial. There's still a component to this to where if you're looking at a situation to where you're going to take off $65,000, $75,000, $100,000 worth of debt when you graduate, especially knowing what we know now, that the jobs aren't out there for you to nuke that loan money when you get out of school. We definitely have to have a conversation, I feel like, about people and how much debt they're going to saddle themselves with. And I think that's a responsible conversation to have because I don't think people were having that 15, 20, 30 years ago. Right. So what's wrong with having that conversation? And I really don't understand what the big deal is.
I don't think that anyone was saying that you can't have that conversation. That wasn't the issue. It was that you were dismissing. Because I brought up the example to you when we were coming up. Education was the way to succeed. That was the path to success. You brought up the LA example. You wanted to enter a specific field with a specific talent, and that was the specific place to go. Going to college in general is not as specific. It was, you go to college, it's going to provide you with an education. You're going to spread your wings and find a specialized field that's going to get there. Like, it casts a wider net. And so I think that's why I had a problem with the LA thing, because that's, it is a choice. You're right. They're both choice. They're choices that were made, but that is more specific as opposed to you need a college degree to succeed. You wanted to do something in LA in a specific way. Do you understand like the difference? I think
no, not really. See, I think I understand that they're not the same, but I don't see the difference. What I'm saying is I had to move to a place that was super expensive, super expensive, where I had to have a car. I didn't have a car at the time. And I had to figure out in my life how I was going to make that happen. Like, like for me, a lot of people just go out there and then they do it, right? And so for me, I had to look at that and make a plan to do it. And what I'm essentially saying here is I know that you have to go to college. you that America has made it to where you have to go to college. That doesn't mean that. But what I'm saying is that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a plan to pay your loans back.
Okay, but that's the difference. You choosing to go to LA is a decision that you made for yourself, that you put on yourself. You just said it. America, this country tells you, or at least it did tell you at a time when we were coming up, that you had to go to college to be successful. And they didn't also tell, but like, if that's the only option, you're not giving me a choice. My success is dependent on this education that you are making super expensive for me. And the flip side of it is what's not happening. And that's the conversation that you were talking about. We're not having a conversation about financial literacy. We're told you will have success. But I agree with that part. This country was telling us you had to have this route to have success, and that success would afford you the opportunity to pay back what you were borrowing, and it doesn't.
Right.
That's the issue.
And so, right. And so the only thing that I'm saying is, okay, cool. Student loan forgiveness is good. Forgive the loans, the $50,000, whatever. Forgive them to the entire deal, right? When I went to college, I didn't take out loans, but I did do other things that college students did to fuck my credit up. I did buy a computer that I couldn't pay for. I did run up credit cards that I couldn't pay for. All the same stuff. Like as soon as you get there, they have a credit card thing like set up for the kids to come get a credit card and all of that stuff. I did all of that stuff. The reality is my life still got affected by that because my credit did, and I had to figure out how to pay that stuff off. So if I'm talking to somebody now, I'm going to say to them, hey, when you go to school, maybe don't run to the credit card Visa kiosk and get the $1,000 limit credit card when you don't have a job to pay it back. Or you might even be using your loans to pay it back. So now you're double dipping into this entire situation. Like, I guess for me, when I look at something that you feel like you have to do to succeed, whatever that thing is, because a lot of people need a lot of stuff to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you want to be a YouTuber, you might have to get a brand new camera. You might have to get a different type of setup. There are things that you can do. There are expenses to every single step to success that you want to have, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out how it is that you're going to pay for that stuff. Now with the situation with the loans, sure, there's extra pressure to go to college. But what I'm telling you is our choice is either to have another generation saddled with this debt that's a drag on the economy, right? Because they don't have the spending power. Or our choice is to say, hey, we're not in the position right now in America where these institutions are going to be willing to address this, but we will. Especially for young Black kids who are disproportionately affected by this. Sure. We need to be able to have conversations about how much debt you can sustain in your life at 21 or 22 years old and still live a viable life with the education that you got. And because if DeSantis wins, or if down the line fucking Tom Cotton wins or J.D. Vance wins, they're not going to forgive your loans. You know what I mean? So what I'm telling you is they're not going to forgive them. So I know you guys are mad that the old miser Van had to say maybe we should look at the other side of it too. But
I don't think. Listen, I no one's expecting for each president to forgive your loans. People are just like, how are we going to fix this education system in regards to how much it costs to go to get it?
Right. Well, they need to fix it. They need to fix that in many levels, though. And once again, we need to also get rid of the fallacy that in order to be a successful American, you have to go to college.
I think that has definitely, I would say, changed since we were coming up.
Right. I wish I would have came out.
Everybody wants to be an influencer. You know what I mean? These kids want to be influencers.
You know, you can start doing your thing. Now, look, I will say this. To skip social classes, especially for Black people, college is amazing. You know what I mean? It's still the best way, but it's going to be hard to skip those social classes if you come out owing $200,000. You know, I got a friend to me that's very close. Went to Morehouse, then went to Stanford. Came out was getting that bread, right? getting that guap. I'm killing this nigga now. Oh my God. He's underwater with these loans.
You look such a bad friend.
I'm just joking. He knows him. He just
come on, hoes. Go to the next topic.
The next topic is the big deal of the day. Unfortunately, it is not in any way a big deal of the day. That is something fun to talk about, but we have to talk about sometimes why it sucks being black in America, and you can't even drink water to quench your thirst.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Jackson, Mississippi is the site of the latest environmental disaster to plague America, specifically Black Americans. There is a water crisis in Jackson right now. The water system in Jackson, Mississippi, the state's capital and largest city, failed earlier this week. Most of the city's 160,000 residents were without safe drinking water, prompting the Republican governor of the state, a gentleman by the name of Tate Reeves, to declare a state of emergency. He warned that there wasn't enough running water to fight fires, to reliably flush toilets, and to meet other critical needs. It's not clear when the city will have safe drinking water again. There have been problems in Jackson with the infrastructure going on a year. I remember watching the 60 Minutes Plus report of near about a year ago, where a gentleman was talking about the fact that the water system already was screwed up. What has happened now is there was intense rain, which flooded the Pearl River. Shout out to Pearl River Junior College, which it flooded the Pearl River, and it has strained the largest water treatment plant, which is called O.B. Curtis, which you know, having a lot of problems already. So, Jackson, Mississippi is 80% Black. It has been ignored. The infrastructure has been terrible, not just the water situation, for a long time now. And now we have yet another home for Black people where little Black kids are dipping their toothbrushes in bottled water to brush their teeth before they go to school in the morning.
It's almost unreal. It's unreal. Not just that this is happening in our country, but that this has been going on in Jackson, Mississippi for years and nothing has been done. And these people, these residents of Jackson, Mississippi, depend on their elected officials to take care of their basic needs, right? That's why you elect someone to fight on your behalf, on behalf of those constituents. But these elected officials don't even live in the city of Jackson. They live outside of it. And if you go back and you look, 2016, state health officials were alerted about elevated levels of lead in the drinking water. Nothing was done. In 2020, the EPA issued an emergency order that posed Jackson's water system as an imminent and substantial endangerment to its residents. Winter of 2021, they had storms that were across the country, with ice, and it messed up their water system. Pipes were bursting. Nothing was done. The citizens or residents were without water for weeks. Thousands of residents, tens of thousands of them. And for years, The city has had disruptions with water. They've had a recurring boil water advisory because the water has been contaminated. I already said lead, but also with E. coli. It is well documented in this city for years that they have had issues with their water system, but nothing has been done. And what makes it even worse is that in 2020, there were two bills that were put up to help with the water system, and the Republican legislature, majority Republican legislature, I should say, voted to have it not happen. They weren't even trying to help these people when it's well documented that there were issues in the city. And you can't help but recognize, as you already stated, the statistics of what the demographics are of the city of Jackson, 80% Black. Most of the people white people live outside of it. It's even referenced in the articles when you read about it, that it's an issue with white flight. And the only thing that this boils down to is they don't care about the people that are living in this city because they don't look like them. They don't have the same socioeconomic status that they do. It's out of sight, out of mind, and they're right there. And I'm telling you right now, we talked about this before, not just the state legislature, but with Congress, the U.S. Congress, there are four seats right now that are up in the midterms for reelection. Republicans, you got to vote them out. They don't give up. And I didn't even say the fact that Jackson is a majority Democrats, but it's the Republican legislature that runs the state and also those who are fighting on their behalf, fighting, I'm using air quotes, on their behalf in Congress. You got to vote them out.
You definitely have to vote them out. So, I mean, the tale of what happened in Jackson is, you know, all too familiar. White flight happens, which erodes the city's tax base. And then you don't have money for public works, right? You don't have money for public works. And then situations like this end up happening. It reminds me of something that was going on when I was in college. I was driving through a city called Faraday, Louisiana. And
what's it?
Faraday, Louisiana. That's what I was driving through. And I remember I saw something on the, I passed by a store and the store said closed, no water. Right? Closed, no water. And I looked at another store that says closed, no water. Faraday is an all Black town, basically a small Black town. Central Louisiana, if I can remember correctly, it's a closed, no water, closed, no water, closed, no water, closed, no water. And I get back to school, and a friend of mine, Ron used to work at Griff's near Louisiana Tech's campus. Griff's was like this greasy spoon that you would go to and get like a pork chop sandwich. You know what I mean? You love that, right? Like,
mm-hmm, I too.
I used to watch people just eat a fucking slab of pork.
Hunk of beef. I mean, pork. Yes.
It's a big, you know, fucking I love hunk it. Of pork. I was like, God damn, nigga, on a sandwich. Fuck, bro. I feel like that eel. Anyway, I asked Ron what's going on. And Ron was like, oh, yeah, we ain't got no water. Something happened with the pipes. I'm like, what? What do you mean? He's like, well, they found a dead dude in our water supply.
What?
Yeah, he goes, they found a dead dude in our water supply, which then made them have to go fix the water or whatever, fix whatever the thing was. And then when they were trying to fix it, they broke something, and now the town doesn't have any water. And I was like, well, what y'all do? This is the first time I heard of a town that's like, what do y'all do? He's like, oh, we gotta drive into nearby towns and like get bottles of water and have the water come in. That's what we have to do it. And the reason why that struck me is because I thought about that whenever I thought about Flint. I thought about that whenever I thought about Jackson. It's because, like, the real place that racism rears its ugly head to me is not in it's not in videos of Karens, right? It's not in even police brutality videos, right? Because those are flashpoint moments when implicit biases get the better of people and then they do the things that their mind tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's racism, of course. But what I think is, how much harder is it in your day-to-day life, to be Black? Like, how much more difficult is it? You know, you might not run into a cop every single day, although that is a a somewhat day-to-day occurrence if you live in certain neighborhoods. So I, the point, you know, I know that you can't detract or subtract what it means to be black in America from interactions with the police. But I'm saying you wake up in the morning to go to school and you're brushing your teeth or you want to boil some eggs. Because you are black, you can't do that. Because nobody cares, right? Because even the politicians that you're talking about in that situation, they don't, there's nothing in it for them to make sure that little black kids have clean water. They don't get anything for that. There's no gold star. There's no next term. There's none of it. What they really wish would happen would be that all the Negroes would move out of Jackson so they could move back in and have it like it used to be. Like, this is, in my opinion, environmental terrorism from neglect. And it plagues black children everywhere. And it plagues black people everywhere. And so what we're going to have to do, Rachel, is what we always have to do, is we're going to have to fix this. And we're going to attempt to give you guys some resources to help out in Jackson if you want to. But I tell you one thing. I don't know how you feel about this. I am going to make sure that there are specific names of people to blame for this. I don't have the research now to do it, right? But I want every single podcast and all my socials and everywhere that I can, I want the names of the people whose job it is to make sure that Jackson has clean drinking water. And I want to continuously make sure that we make them famous as Kavanaugh was in the aftermath of the Dobbs decision, or Amy Coney Barrett was, or Clarence Thomas was. We need to know who's responsible for the people of Jackson, Mississippi, black and white, not having clean drinking water. And we need to make sure that as this country continuously morphs into a developing nation, we need to know why that's happening. Because too many times these things are just crises that we do water drops for, and then we move on to the next one. This dysfunction is happening every day.
I mean, if it's been going on for a long time, start with the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves. Start with Tate Reeves. Why are you just now declaring this a crisis, a state of emergency? You should have been doing this. This has been a problem. And I'm very curious too, as this $1 trillion infrastructure bill, is this in any way going to be trickled down into Mississippi to help out, or wherever this has happened? You just named another city. I mean, obviously this is what's making news, but we know that Jackson, Mississippi doesn't stand alone. There are other cities, towns out there that are suffering from this as well. So how quickly is that money going to trickle down to help these communities? Or does it have to be, you know, something that we're already talking about in the media where it's too late and people are already suffering?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. So I was able to find a website called the Community Foundation of Mississippi. Okay, the Community Foundation of Mississippi, and of all the places that I've been able to go, and look at resources as to what you can do to help, this website has the most thorough resources for people to be able to help. It's formississippi.org. That's FOR Mississippi MISSISSIPPI.org. The Community Foundation for Mississippi. You should go there. There are several different funds, organizations, and movements underneath that one, on that one website. There are a million different ways you can help on that one website. And I would really, it's based in Jackson, Mississippi. I would really recommend everybody who wants to help, think about what a $10 bottle of water would do right now. Think about what you could do by sending a couple of gallons of water down there. I'm calling on the Thought Warriors right now to get off of Reddit. All right. Get off of Reddit.
Stop. We're going to post it in Reddit.
Stop complaining. I won't be posting it in Reddit. I'll stop complaining for a second. And get to a space and actually help some people drink some water. And, you know, I know that I'm kidding with you guys, but I know people in our listenership have good hearts. And, you know, this might be the difference between a kid having a sip of water. It's hot right now, too, man.
It's
sweltering southern heat, and they don't have no water to drink.
Listen, when y'all do it, when y'all donate or whatever it is that you do, send it to us. Let's follow, do something back for every single person that does it. I know y'all would love to have Van follow y'all back.
Oh, I'm not following you.
I know you would. Yes, he will. I will.
I'm not following y'all. Hey,
do we have a mayor of Jackson on? He's black, you know.
Yeah, we're going to be reaching out to a. Okay. We're going to be on top of this. This is an issue that we're going to be on top of. And by the way, we're not near a solution here. They don't know when the water is going to be back on in Jackson, Mississippi. They don't know when the water is going to be back on with no boil warning. Like, we don't. They're saying
to fix it. It's so deeply rooted because I guess they hired a company years ago to fix it, and the company was not well equipped and messed things up with that infrastructure in their water system. The city actually sued this company. It's going to take billions of dollars, they're estimating, to get it right.
Yeah, well, give them the money. Okay. I hate to be this fucking guy. I don't give a fuck how many billions of dollars that it takes, right? You can send billions of dollars of aid packages across seas to other people who need it. You can spare a couple of billion dollars for the people in Jackson, Mississippi. Not equating the two completely different things. But what I'm saying is, it's not for a lack of money. Fix whatever the fuck you got to fix and do it quickly. And if the feds need to get involved in this situation, then they need to get involved in this situation. If this is something that Mississippi, for whatever reason, obviously, the governor, you said, is the tip of the spear
Tate
there.
Tate Reeves.
Is this something they don't feel like they can do? That's fine. Then this is the point where those votes that you cast in November for those people, where they need to take charge, get in there and figure out what the fuck we got to do to make sure these people can drink some water. God damn it. Our cousins from right there in Mississippi. Our cousins. Damn. All right. Serena Williams. She had an upset win in the U.S. Open. Legendary career, Serena Williams. Yep. She won a thrilling second round match. She beat Annette
Take your time.
Kontaveit. I don't know who this person is. I'm sorry to this woman.
She was.
She's the second seeded player at the tournament. Serena beat her 7-6. She lost. She dropped the second set, and then she won the last set, dominating fashion in Flushing Meadows. How inspired are you right now by Serena Williams?
Always inspired by Serena Williams. I actually looked up tickets to the U.S. Open. It snuck up on me. I didn't realize. I mean, I watched the first round. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize it was happening right now. I was in Philly and I was like, oh, I could go. Tickets were like $5,000 to $6,000 for the good seats. I'm not Van. I can't afford that. Everybody's not able. I can't afford that. I can't afford.
Don't ever talk.
And that's
don't
where
talk
all my money is. That's
don't
where
talk the games with me, nigga. Rachel, hey, y'all, Rachel be talking this bullshit. Rachel got a waterfall in her backyard. True or false, Rachel? Rachel, true or false?
You're exaggerating.
Rachel, true or false?
It's
see, that's what
waterfall.
I'm saying. You're politicking us right now.
I didn't even know that because it didn't turn it on.
Boom! You got a waterfall. Don't talk to me about some U.S. Open tickets. Like I look over at Brian,
that's where my money is.
Me and Brian are in the pool shirtless. Bad mistake for me. I look over and I go, yo, bro, is that a waterfall? He's laying on his back. He's like, yeah.
Anyways, I'm watching. What she's doing is incredible. I saw a Bill Simmons tweet, and I don't want to misquote it, but it was so true about how, you know, when someone's at the end of their, I'm paraphrasing here, the end of their career, just how they not muster up the strength, but just how they just show what an incredible athlete they are as they're nearing the end of their career. It's like, you know, people like say old man strength. It's like they just show how incredible they are. And that's what we're seeing right now with Serena. And I'm hoping she goes all the way. It really is fun to watch.
Let's find Bill's exact tweet so that people don't find a reason to get mad. Get on Bill's ass. This is what Bill said. I've been following sports my whole life, and one thing never changes. The aging near the end superstar and probably thriving one more time is still the greatest thing to watch. He is right. It was amazing when Ali would do it back in the day. It was amazing when Tom Brady would do it. When Tom Brady's been doing it, he's 45. Even though I don't think Tom Brady counts, I saw Tom Brady at a fuck. I saw Tom Brady at a goddamn press conference looking like one of the Stepford Wives. Like, he looked like an animatronic figure from It's a Small World in Disneyland. I'm like, yeah. Tom is turning. Tom had a face. Brady had a fucking facelift. Oh, turned into a bad bitch.
He disappeared for days. I mean, weeks. He was 2 weeks. He was away from the team. So, I mean, come on now.
Yeah. So
you do the math.
But he's playing at a very high level. And just watching Serena, I can't watch her. I can't watch the matches.
Why?
Because I care too much.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, you don't understand.
I don't.
You don't understand.
Help me.
I care too much to watch it. I don't see what
you want to see. You don't want to see.
I don't want her to lose. Yeah. So I can't just watch it. I remember I've had a panic attack over the Lakers Celtics series back in 2008, 2009, or whatever it was. I couldn't watch. Ask Kalika. Well, like it was a situation to where, like, sometimes I get nervous and, like, I'll turn from the game at third down. If it's a big third down, I can't watch it. What if we don't get it? What if Serena would have lost and I'm watching it? Why does that make my life better to watch her lose? I would rather not watch. And after she won, just watch the highlights for a week. Because now I know what happens.
Well, you know what I'm saying? to watch it all play out, the ups and downs, you know what I mean? Because that game went to, I mean, that match went to three rounds. The first one was two. So to see, oh, she lost the second one. Will she come back in this third round? Did you call it that?
No, nigga. It's called a set. You're making my fucking brain bleed. it was like they played three sets.
That's, I could think of the word. I was like, well, shit, I'm going to go around. Watch her come back in the third set and dominate in that way. It's nice to see it as a whole.
Nah,
and this is why I have no business paying $5,000 for a seat. I can't get the terminology right.
Did you see Gladys Knight was there?
Okay, she was at the first match. Yeah. She was there in the first round. In the second round, I don't know if she was there, but they didn't show the right person.
So
she was there though in the first one.
Do you know the people that were calling the game? Are you defending them?
No. Okay. She really was at the first round. Glass Nigga, Knight was there.
I'm sure she was. That wasn't Glass Knight in that picture.
But what they showed, no, it wasn't.
They flashed a Dionne Warwick, and then they said Gladys Knight is here. Listen, y'all don't understand how fucking annoying that is. Like, white people, y'all don't get tired of being annoying. Like, just say the right. I remember this used to happen so often at TMZ. Like, so often, it's like so often they put up, and it would be always in a worse situation when people died or some shit like that. They put up the wrong person or something like that. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, you get to a situation, I don't know, like somebody passed away, the guy from Earth, Wind, and Fire died, and they put up a picture of Barry White or some dumb shit. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Just take the extra. If you don't know who it is, shut the fuck up. Has ESPN addressed this? Have they talked about the fact they that's insulting to us?
I feel like I would do some shit like this. See? She has three. She played three rounds. I feel like I would be fucking loud and wrong. I would mess up Gladys and Dionne, obviously, but I might be like confuse some white folks.
This is why we need our own media companies, because we need to be able to fuck up white people's names. Because it could happen.
You just did it with the second seed. You quit. What? You were trying to pronounce her name, and you quit, and you said, ain't nobody. Sorry to this woman.
She ain't nobody. Well, she hasn't earned the right for me to care about her name yet. A couple more years of dominance, maybe.
See what I'm saying?
Who are two white people that you used to confuse? Donnie, you can jump in here too. Give me two white people that you've confused before.
There definitely is. It's a white male. Was it Ryan Reynolds and Well, non-famous people. There were two people I went to law school with that I never could remember their names. I'm not going to say them. But I always confused those two people. For the life of me, it took me a couple of months to realize they weren't the same person. I don't know. I'm sure it happens.
Donnie, give me two white people that you used to confuse for each other.
I confused Dennis Quaid with someone that I'm forgetting this, the other person that I'm for, I confused him.
Kevin
with.
Costner.
It is Kevin Costner. There we go. Thank you. Yep.
Let me tell you guys something right now. Speaking of Kevin
Costner. I see it, Donnie, which is why I said that.
Yep.
Speaking of Kevin Costner. First of all, shout out Dennis Quaid. Shout out Kevin Costner. Shout out the Dutton Ranch. Fucking Yellowstone.
No, I don't want.
Like, hold on for a second. I gotta show you something I bought.
Spoil it. No, don't spoil it. He's a spoiler. Donnie, do you watch it? Don't do it, Donnie.
I don't watch it. I don't plan on watching it.
But I do plan on watching Yellowstone, and I really need him to stop doing this.
Look what I bought. Boom. I bought a Dutton Ranch Yellowstone t-shirt.
Tag still on it and everything.
I want to be a part of the Dutton Ranch. I'm sick of this Negro life.
How many times am I going to have to call you Jay-Z on this podcast?
The Duttons are doing their thing, man. Fuck. I was watching more Yellowstone this morning. Yellowstone.
Are you caught up?
I'll rewatch it. Yellowstone might be the sexiest white show that's ever. It's a very sexy show.
Are you watching 1883?
No. Let me tell you something. I have a problem watching white people in the olden times. Because whenever they do a story about white people in the olden times, they always try to make like a good white person. And you just can't convince me that there were any good white people in 1883. Nobody wanted to be cool with nobody. It was one guy, John Brown. They got him the fuck out of here. Nobody wanted to be cool. Nobody wanted to, like, Kalika said this one time. Okay, so look, hey, Kalika said the funniest thing. Kalika, remember when Jay-Z and Beyonce wore like the diamond or whatever that, remember that joint? Mm-hmm. So, like, I asked her, I was like, you think that they knew that the diamond was racist? Whatever. And she goes, it doesn't matter if they knew. She's like, they found a diamond in like 1870 or something shit like that. They should have known that in no goddamn 1870 that white people was up to no damn good, and it wasn't a good situation with the fucking diamond. It was nothing good that was going on then. Yeah. So 1883 might take, because they're going to try to make them good white people. And I just can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe in, you know, even when I watch Django, I'm like, he was cool as fuck, but I don't know if that nigga really exists. I guess there were some. Shout out to the white people. I'm sorry to those men.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Rachel, do you think that rap lyrics should be used to convict people in court?
It depends. I think that if you're confessing, if I'm investigating you on a specific charge, mm-hmm. or I believe that there's some sort of suspicion, I have not even probable cause, I think a higher degree than that. But I think that if you are speaking to something that you have been charged for, it is fair game. If you've been indicted, maybe they use it in the indictment. I think that there are circumstances where it works. I know people are going to be upset with me. I get the whole freedom of speech, expression. I get all of that. But if you are going to confess to something in a form of art, whether it's a lyric, whether it's a painting, whether it's a book, something like that, I think that it's fair game.
Well, the Fulton County DA agrees with you. It says, she says that people can continue to be angry about it, and she's going to continue to use lyrics. Her name is Fannie Willis. She addressed the ongoing criticism facing the use of art in criminal cases. Okay? This is the audio from Fannie Willis.
Rap lyrics in prosecutions. Do you have thoughts about that?
I think that I would welcome an opportunity to sit down with Hank Aaron and discuss that proposed legislation.
Is it Hank Aaron or Johnson?
I don't think that it will be successful. I think if you decide to admit your crimes over a beat, I'm going to use it.
They could have corrected her.
I'm not targeting anyone, but however, you do not get to commit crimes in my county and then decide to brag on it, which you do that for a form of intimidation and to further the gang and not be held responsible. One of the lyrics used in this indictment, just one of the lyrics, is me and my crew striking out, striking in all black. Send me the drop. We'll kick in the house. If we steal a car, we're going to take off the tag. Well, they're kicking indoors, committing home invasions, and now I'm using those lyrics that they're admitting to doing that. I'm going to continue to do that. People can continue to be angry about it. I have some legal advice. Don't confess to crimes on rap lyrics if you do not want them used, or at least get out of my county.
So, shout out to Hank Aaron, who's trying to catch, who right now is trying to catch a fly ball in heaven up there playing a good old game. You know, Babe Ruth is a bat. And he's like, what the hell did I do to this woman? She's talking about Representative Hank Johnson, whose rap act is made headlines earlier this month. He's trying to spearhead the movement to not let rap music be admissible in court. I want to read off a lyric to you guys right now from one of my favorite songs, Who I Smoke. Okay. This is the lyric. I told the Rocket when I travel, I'm pistol packing the heat. Hold on. Do it again, Donnie. I told the Rocket when I travel, I'm pistol packing the heat. I was lurking on his page and I caught him lacking in Houston. We let off shots. He got shot and went live. I was tweaking like, fuck man, that bitch ain't die. Okay, give it to you one more time. I told the Rocket when I travel, I'm pistol packing in Houston. I was lurking on his page and I caught him lacking in Houston. We let off shots. He got shot and went live. I was tweaking like, fuck, man, that bitch ain't died. All right.
Lock him up.
Now, I want you guys, I just want, because everybody's, it's a very controversial subject. I want people to know what he's talking about in that situation. There's a rapper named Julio Fulio who went to Houston. And went on his live, okay? They saw that he was, whoever the assailants were in this case, saw that he was in Houston and saw his location, pulled up on him, shot him. Everybody in the whole world learned that he had survived this attempt on his life when he went live. So in this rhyme, he's saying, we saw him on his live, we pulled up, we shot him, and then, boom, I was like, fuck, man, that bitch ain't die. You guys. Let's have some real talk right now. Let's have some real talk as a family. Because I realize that I'm going to say this and then people are going to be pissed off. You just can't do it like that, man.
You can't.
Like, you can't. Look. Back in the day, rappers was killing each other back and forth. I done shot a bunch of niggas, blah, blah, blah. I'll shoot you in your face. Ha, ha, ha. Like, everybody's rapping about killing everyone, selling the most dope. So all of that. All of that was true. Specifically confessing to individual crimes.
Yeah.
And telling names of individuals that you have killed is going to make people think that you actually killed them. What are we talking about? Like, I get it. I'm the old nigga nerd in the room. I understand it. You just can't do it like that, man. You can't go on there and give details to how you killed someone and then expect the authorities aren't going to say, oh, well, maybe they did do it. What the fuck? I don't even take my word for it. Look at the lyrics of this song. By the way, I could do this for 150 more songs. King Von in the song says, put a pretty out bitch in the morgue. He's talking about Jakara Barnes, a.k.a. K.I., a young woman in Chicago that was 16 or 17 years old, a killer in her own right, allegedly, that they think that he killed. So what are people supposed to do? Is my thing.
You know what's interesting? If you wrote that song out in a letter and you mailed it to someone, nobody would have a problem if that was used as evidence.
Right.
But because it's in the form of it's the same thing. It's in the form of a song now that there's some sort of debate over it. But if that was written out, we would be like, oh, that was he used it. You would be using evidence and nobody would have an issue with it. Tell me the difference. Tell me the difference.
Self-snitching. All right. Now, the current indictment in Fulton County is focused on the alleged actions of a group claimed to be known as Drug Rich, which prosecutors claim started in 2016 and have made victims out of a lot of prominent people. Mariah Carey, Calvin Ridley, and more. People that they've targeted. The Drug Rich gang, I don't know very much about them. So, you know, don't come for me, but stop. Just stop. How about this? How about we change it up? How about do your crimes and then try to get away? Try to get away.
Okay. Don't do crime.
No,
but you can do the crime. You can speak in general and not in specificity, right?
I mean, look, sometimes crime is a part of poverty. You do the crime, you know, if I'm not talking about kill somebody, but if you got to rob, you know.
Okay.
Robbing it.
You go get you get robbed. Go ahead. You be understanding of the person that robs you. Okay. Go ahead.
You wouldn't be understanding of the person that would rob you. Let's say somebody came up to rob you. I'm like, yo, man, take this, bro. I feel you. It's hard out here. Yeah.
Is it going to go that smoothly? Are they putting is it armed robbery? Are they
Have you ever been robbed before? Have you ever been a victim of crime?
I've never been robbed before.
Yeah, they got me one time.
Like, daytime, nighttime? Was it like you walking on the street? Were you standing in line?
In the car? So nighttime in the bottom, Baton Rouge, and they hit me up and they were like, it was a cautionary tale. Cause they was like, now you know damn well you don't need to be down here. Man, what you got?
They taught you a lesson?
They taught me a lesson. It's like, damn well you don't need to be. Man, come here, man. What you got? Hey, man, I'll take you a little $10. You know, this is what it costs for you. This is the admission price. Get the fuck from around here. You know you ain't supposed to be out here. And just flashed the gun. And then I was like, hey, there go the 10 bucks. And 10 bucks was all I had. All I had. You know what I mean? You know, shout out to them. Stop doing crime. No Stacey Dash. Let's talk about Jay-Z now. Jay-Z was talking about his verse. God did. It's a 4-minute verse. They let Hov have 4 minutes. Hov did his thing on that. And he jumped on Twitter Spaces, which I'm sure he had to have somebody show him how to work it. Probably like had to have Blue Ivy show him how to work it. It's like, Blue Ivy, how you do Twitter Spaces? You know what I mean? Maybe Solange did, smacked him upside his head and showed him how to get on Twitter Spaces. So he was on there with the homie Rob Markman. Shout out Rob Markman, who is a great journalist and also a pretty good rapper. Rob Markman's good for himself. DJ Khaled was on there. Lenny S was on there. Shout out Lenny S. And Jay-Z talked about the perception of him as a capitalist and overall the feelings that he has when the term capitalist is brought up to describe some of the cash kings of hip hop. This is what Hov had to say. Donnie, run the whole thing.
Yeah, we're not going to stop. You know, this hip hop is young. We still growing, and we're not falling for that technology, whatever, you know, this public puts out there now. That, you know, before was the American dream. Pull yourself out of bootstraps and you can make it in America. All these lies that America told us our whole life. And then when we start getting it, they try to lock us out of it. They start inventing words like, you know, capitalists and, you know, things like that. I mean, you know, we've been called nigger and monkeys and shit. I don't care. Those words y'all come up with, y'all got to come up with stronger words. When I say y'all, I'm not talking about you. The words they come up with, they got to come up with stronger words. We're not going to stop. We're not going to be tricked out of our position. Y'all locked us out. Y'all created a system that, you know, doesn't include us. We said, fine. We went our alternate route. We created this music. We did our thing. You know, we hustled. We fucking killed ourselves to get to this space. And, you know, now it's like, you know, eat the rich. And think, man, we're not stopping. So that evolution is, you know, from us, you know, we came from selling seven records and selling records out our trunk and, you know, no radio play. And I think Reasonable Doubt did 36,000 the first week or something like that. I may be adding a little to it, you know. So, you know, I come from Marcy Projects in my first house, 615 Lexington Avenue, my grandmother's house, enough. Seven families.
That's enough. Rachel?
Well, when I listen to Jay-Z in this clip, in this moment, on this Twitter space, it seems like there's a disconnect, which I already referenced earlier when there's a disconnect between you because you don't have loans versus us that do. You don't get it. And it's not that necessarily Jay-Z doesn't get it, which is why I think he constantly references where he's come from, where he used to be, but it's almost as if he's so far removed from that. It's like, you don't get it necessarily anymore. And I do understand the aspect of him talking in that the fact that he is he's a billionaire. The fact that he's a billionaire, well, that's what he says in the lyric, I guess. The fact that he is a billionaire is, you know, revolutionary in that way, because he coming
no,
from where he,
in no way is him well, being a billionaire.
Listen, wait, can I
I'm sorry.
From where he's come from, he was never supposed to be that. And what he had to do and how he's turned his artistry into entrepreneurship and then to making a path for other people to have similar success, that is a thing, like revolutionary in that sense. And so his wealth, his achievements, his accomplishments, that is what I'm talking about. So, I mean, you might not agree with me using the word in that way, but I do believe that in that regard, just that, it is something. And so I think that when he talks about himself, he's holding on to that, like where he was come from to where he is now. But the fact that he starts talking about capitalism and being called a capitalist, Jay-Z, you are that. And I think he's holding on to what he's come from, and he doesn't think that he can be a capitalist, but you are. And there's certain things that you have done since you've had money that constantly puts you in that capitalist role. And I don't even know if when he's talking about this, because he says they, it almost feels like when he's saying they, he's talking about white people, but it's like Black people who are calling you this. It's Black people who are the ones who are calling you out on certain things that you rap about or certain things that you claim to be, but then you're living this kind of life. That goes towards the NFL, his partnership. That goes to his relationship with Robert Kraft and buying him a car with Meek Mill. That goes towards, you already referenced, the Diamond and the Tiffany ad. There's certain things that he does that put him in that capitalist lane. And for him to have a disconnect to think that he's not that, and then to say that that's up there with using the N-word, like, I understand why people are up in arms about this 2 minutes of him talking and his explanation, because it just seems like you just aren't getting it.
So a couple of things. First of all, I'm sorry for interjecting when you were talking. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But I think the actual problem is actually what you said. I think the problem is Jay-Z thinks that becoming a billionaire was revolutionary. I think we need to take that apart.
Okay.
So there's nothing revolutionary about becoming a billionaire. The odds are low that you will become that. But Jay-Z becoming a billionaire is not revolutionary. By the time you become a billionaire, your proximity to whiteness is such that it's almost impossible for you to be a revolutionary. That's just a reality. All right. By the time you become a billionaire, by the time you've done enough, enough of that, your proximity to the structures that make America are such that it's very, 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 very hard for you to call yourself a revolutionary. You might be what Hove is, which is an asset to the culture. People don't know how much Roc Nation, how much Jay-Z does for people who are revolutionaries, right? For people who need their situations funded. Like, you could be the bank for them, but you're certainly not the revolutionary. You can't be a revolutionary hanging out and doing business with Robert Kraft. You just can't. Okay. Robert Kraft supported Donald Trump. He is an unabashed Trump supporter. I'm not saying I don't know Robert Kraft personally, but once you get to that level, you start not wanting to pay taxes. You are a capitalist. Like, you, and being a capitalist in America is the furthest thing from being a revolutionary. He said that capitalism is the new N-word, right? A capitalist mm-hmm. is the new N-word. What mm-hmm. Jay-Z doesn't understand is that it was capitalism that created mm-hmm. the N-word. Mm-hmm. 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 The N-word exists because of American capitalism. And if unchecked, American capitalism will always create a new nigga, a new group of niggas. Because American capitalism doesn't work unless there are niggers. It has to have its own niggers. Now, if we're to a point to where we say, hey, what we want to do is we want to be the power base and have the money to dictate who are the niggers in society. That's one thing. Maybe that's the only way to win, right? Maybe that's the only way to win. But the reality of the situation is, that's how it goes. There's certainly nothing that's going to come from making a whole bunch of money in America that's going to influence equitable treatment of people. There's not going to be anything that comes from making a whole bunch of America that's going to influence the division of power and equality in America. That's not going to happen. And we know that, right? So I think that Jay-Z is mistaken. And I think that his immense and overwhelming talent has put him in a position to where he is equipped to have a certain lifestyle that and have certain friends that let him see this from a different lens than all of us do.
Correct.
And he most certainly probably has the same heart that he did before. Because I'll be honest with you. I'll just keep it real with you. Like, selling some dope on the side of a corner to like keep your bills on is one thing. Having a whole project, that kingpin shit, that's a different thing. Hove has never not been a capitalist. And the reality is, when you are a capitalist, somebody suffers. Right. And in that, and even in that situation, somebody suffered. I'm not judging him personally or judging him or making a moral judgment. Far be it from me, the ex-TMZ employee, to make a moral judgment of anyone. But what I am saying is that in this situation right here, like, there is no us. Like, there's this us that we speak of. There's no us. There's you. And what we're hoping is that you're such a good guy that when you're where you are, that mm-hmm. you do right by us, but you don't have to. You never have to look at us again. You never have to shake hands with us. You never have to come where we are. You never have to do it. You can hang out with Robert Kraft and Ruben and the rest of those guys and the NFL owners, which you want to be one for the rest of your life. And niggas would still look up to you because of what you've been able to do. But there's no us.
Yeah.
The us right now is only emotional. Now, look, people can talk about what you can do for your community when you get in those situations. And I hear this a lot. Well, shit, when I get there, what I can do is reach back to the community. That's cool. But as long as there is an economic system and a political system that allows somebody to be so astonishingly wealthy where there are other people who have nothing, There's not enough philanthropy, giving back, and job creation you can do to offset that. It's a systemic problem. And I think that these people that are in these positions, and I love them all. I love them all. I love all of these guys. They mean so much to me. But they better damn well know that. And so, like, slavery was invented so somebody back in that day could be a Jay-Z, could be a fat cat making a bunch of fucking money where the niggers of the world had nothing. We just talked about Jackson, Mississippi. You own a yacht, they ain't got no water to drink. You're on a yacht, you're on a yacht. By the way, I'm on it. Fuck him. I'm on a yacht. Forget about him. I'm on a yacht. I'm in Greece. I'm doing these things when people in Jackson, Mississippi don't have any water to drink.
I think there's a difference, though, with that. You're doing something. You're on vacation. You're, you know, like, allowed to do nice things for yourself. I think what you're saying, though, is differences when there's that much wealth, when you're on that status, when your song is bragging about you being a billionaire and how Hope's house has created multiple billionaires, there's a difference. It's like too great of a difference. I do want to say this about Revolutionary. I think there's a difference between calling Jay-Z himself a revolutionary, which I did not, and saying the fact that he made money and his wealth is something that is revolutionary. I mean, the difference.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. I do not think he is some type of revolutionary. I think there's a difference when you look at a noun versus adjective, but that's just, you don't have to agree with me. I just want to be sure
I tend to think revolutionaries dismantle systems.
As a noun.
Right. Okay. Well, his, I don't want to get stuck on the semantics.
His money.
Right.
Is it that the wealth that he has created, I think, is revolutionary. There's a difference. I agree with you. What you were saying, but go ahead.
No, we have to. There's breaking news. Donnie, did you see this?
What happened?
No. What is it?
That means it's not.
I'm being 1000% true. I don't know any other way to say this.
I'm nervous.
Tiffany Haddish and Aries Spears have been accused of child sexual abuse. Jane Doe and her brother allege in a lawsuit that both individuals recruited them into performing inappropriate, sexually suggestive acts and sketches when they were minors. This comes from the Daily Beast. During their childhoods, Jane Doe and her brother said they called Tiffany Haddish Auntie Tiff. I'm going to read you the whole Daily Beast article. Just knowing that this just broke. Full disclosure, I know Tiffany Haddish. Have known Tiffany Haddish for some years. Haven't had the chance to talk to Tiffany Haddish about this. Doubt that she would talk with me about it anyway. But this is what's coming out right now. So apparently, Tiffany Haddish, the comedian, had met their mother through the comedy circuit and used to refer to siblings as niece and nephew. But in a lawsuit filed pro se, what does pro se mean? What does it mean to be a lawsuit be filed pro se?
For oneself.
On behalf of both herself and her brother, who is a minor, the siblings allege that Haddish and her fellow comic, Aries Spears, recruited each of them to perform inappropriate acts on camera when they were children. The Jane Doe is now 22 years old. Her younger brother, John, is now 14. They have adopted pseudonyms due to their respective ages at the time of this. It says sexually suggestive acts while on camera and underage. Jane was 14 when this video took place. John was 7. Their mother alleges that she and Haddish met through comedy and bonded over a shared strife. She talked to Daily Beast and said that her and Tiffany bonded over a divorce. Messy, messy, messy divorces. We got super, super close. And apparently this happened in the summer of 2013. She attended a comedy camp with Tiffany Haddish, was a guest speaker. She told the child she'd found the perfect role for her in her very own commercial. And neither the mother or the child knew what it would entail. And apparently it was something weird. So here it is. It says I'm getting to it right now. Sorry, guys. It says they watched the recording booth allegedly some innocuous at first. It's a little strange. A group of co-eds were arguing over a Subway sandwich, but then the co-eds begin eating the sandwich in a suggestive manner for opposite ends, moaning and making sexual noises as they both ate the sandwich in a manner that simulated the act of fellatio. The complaint claims that Spears told James to mimic what she had seen on the screen, including the noises, precisely like what she had heard throughout the video. The 14-year-old says she felt nervous and disgusted. She fell silent until Haddish returned to the room. Haddish verbally explained what was expected of the plaintiff, then showed the plaintiff, Jane Doe, how to give fellatio, including movements, noises, moaning, and groaning, the lawsuit states. At this point, Jane told the Daily Beast, "I knew 100% what they wanted out of me." She says Spears allegedly looking on while a physically, emotionally, and mentally uncomfortable Jane received this instruction. Then she says that she tried to mimic what they wanted her to do, but it came out super uncomfortable. Haddish paid her $100 and then sent her home. There's going to be more to it, but so here it is. A year later, Haddish approached the children's mother with a similar pitch, recruiting Jane's little brother, John, for another video. Although the comedian allegedly told the family John would be filming a sizzle reel for Nickelodeon, the suit alleges the 7-year-old wound up starring in the video posted on Funny or Die and other online platforms titled "Through a Pedophile's Eyes," was the name of the video. A representative, Funny or Die, told the Daily Beast, "Funny or Die found this video absolutely disgusting and would never produce such content. We were not involved with the conceptualization, development, funding, or production of this video. It was uploaded to the site as user-generated content and was removed in 2018, immediately after becoming aware of its existence. Both siblings allegedly attended the shoot, which the lawsuit claims took place in Spears' home. Jane says Haddish's behavior changed when the children arrived at the home, no longer in the company of their mother." Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and 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 on. Tiffany Haddish's people have not in any way responded to the allegations here. Okay.
Well, her attorney said that this is an attempt for them trying to extort money from her.
All right. She says that. They said that they basically had to do a pedophile sketch in some way, making fun or making light of pedophilia. What do you make of something like this?
Well, I don't know. It is interesting that the individual bringing the lawsuit is not represented by an attorney. She's filing the suit by herself.
Tell us what that means.
Well, it just exactly that. I mean, you know, usually when you see somebody that's filing a lawsuit, for the most part, or at least in a manner like this, they're represented by some sort of counsel there. But this, they went ahead and filed the lawsuit on their own. I did see in the article where it says they tried to reach some sort of settlement with Ari Spears, and I guess they didn't. So they went forward and filing the lawsuit, but they're doing it because anyone can file a lawsuit. You don't have to have legal representation, and they don't as of right now. The plaintiffs in the lawsuit. I don't know. I mean, breaking news, there's really not much to say about it.
If in fact everything happened the way that they said that it happened. I'm just asking.
I don't want to comment on it.
Okay.
Like, outrageous. It's such a sensitive subject, and it obviously deals with the allegations in this or dealing with a minor, that it's like, I don't even want to touch it. I'd rather wait to hear of some sort of response from Ari, from Tiffany, from their camp, their people. It's just so fresh. I just don't even want to put any kind of.
You know what the crazy thing is? What the crazy thing is I just like searched in my phone the name of the sketch, and it just hit me that I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Like this is weird. But look, when I did that though, Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, also had to apologize back in the day for a sketch that he had made about pedophilia. I just wonder, the only reason why I said if it's all true, I just wonder if there's a line here between, if there is a line, and by the way, the guys, I know the bias police is out there. I'd say right now, I've been around Tiffany Haddish. I do not think that in any way Tiffany Haddish is a danger to children. I don't know, but I do not think that she is. I wonder if there's a line here between really bad, inappropriate comedy and actually like hurting someone. And you never know what that line is. I guess the line is whatever the kids say that it would be.
Well, the line is using actual minors.
Right. Actually, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. That's where, like, you know, should this be, these allegations, if they turn out to be true, I think that's where it is. It's like, okay, comedy is comedy. And, you know, that's a whole nother thing to get into of what's too much and what goes too far. But if you're using minors, then like, that's already a red, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens with that. Tiffany Haddish is, she's trending right now. It's like, why is Tiff trending? And then I look at that.
Wow. That is not the breaking news. I mean,
it's not great. No. It's not a great situation. Okay. It's not great.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Real quick, a couple things I want to shout out. Bank of America announces zero down payment, zero closing costs for Black and Hispanic first-time home buyers. Rachel, you missed out.
I don't think that this city is one of the ones that that's occurring. It's only certain cities where this is happening in. Was LA one? I saw Dallas.
Charlotte, Dallas, Detroit, Los Angeles, and Miami.
Oh, three cities I used to live in.
Yep. In Miami. And you know what the only problem with this is? 55% of Black people live in the South.
Okay.
I guess Miami's the South.
Yeah, Miami. I think, yeah, it's the South. People don't consider Texas the South.
Y'all not the South.
Okay.
Y'all only Texas. Y'all only the South where y'all want to be the South. Y'all are basically like, who could I think? Give me somebody. Y'all like the Tiger Woods of the South.
Now stop.
Y'all
now
Texas
stop it
is
now.
The
stop
Tiger
it right
Woods
now.
Of
stop
the.
Stop it. That makes no sense. Stop it right now.
Other Texas than is the Tiger Woods of the South. Y'all the South when y'all want to be the South. Other than that, y'all got some kind of weird background and nobody really knows because you're different from everybody else. That's Texas. Y'all are the Tiger Woods of the South. Y'all got this whole thing. We used to be our own country. Fucking Sam Houston, the Alamo. We got our own shit. We got the Texas Rangers. They like the police, but they cowboys. Y'all got y'all own shit. And it's really, you could be the South, but you really not. Y'all really cocka Southin'. More than anything, y'all like the Tiger Woods of the South. And yeah, sometimes y'all go, we the South, when it's time for the NAACP Awards, you know what I mean? Or it's time to hang out with Michael Jordan. But then other times, y'all just Texas. Texas is Texas.
Texas really is Texas. I can't deny that. It's just Texas. You're right.
Nigeria becomes the first country to officially ban the use of white models in advertising. You fucking with it or not?
I'm not fucking with it. I'm sorry.
Why?
This was not the way to do it. Because No, this is not the way. If you want to promote, you know, Nigerians and where they have their, it's a Nigerian voice and Nigerian representation. I totally understand that. But to ban it and then to tax people when they use it, this is not the way. When they don't use people that are from Nigeria, it's a little too far. There could have been somewhere where we meet in the middle to accomplish the same goal.
You have to pay $240 for every foreign mile you use that's not Nigerian.
Or voice.
Mm-hmm. The hope is that it will channel more creative projects into the country. It'll boost opportunities for native talent. Okay,
I get the purpose behind it.
I'm fucking with it. Fuck it. We got our own government in Nigeria, and we can make the rules. Fuck it. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's probably wrong in the grand scheme of things.
It is wrong.
But no, it's not. No. Fuck that. If I'm not hedging shit, fuck it. Do it, Nigeria. Good. Come down there and try to fucking take everything. That's all they try to do. They come down there, try to take everything. It should be done across Africa. Across Africa, it should be done. You know, I love it. Good for them. Wakanda forever, nigga. Donnie, let's go with mailbag. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters, and then we'll reply to them. Oh. It's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
All right. The first question is from JewBrooks312 on Insta. So this question was kind of already answered at the top of the podcast, but Van, you specifically asked for me to look out for questions about Tuesday segments. So I'm asking anyway. So they asked Van's student loan forgiveness take was a bit, right?
Was a bit?
No, it was not. He wasn't dead a bit. Ass serious.
I was dead ass serious. And I did. I doubled down. JewBrooks312. I fuck Brooks. I doubled down. It wasn't a bit at all. You're a bit. A bit annoying. No, shout out to you, Jew Brooks. Shout out to you. All right, next one.
All right, next one is from Anonymous T-Rex on Instagram. They ask, who is your favorite white artist?
What? It's a good question.
Like musician, actor?
Artist. So, yes, all of the above.
Like music?
Okay. Music? I guess an artist in general. It could be anything. It could be an author. It could be a... Let's just do music.
Let's do music. Favorite white musician of all time? A lot of good white music, I'm not gonna lie.
I think
you're gonna go with Justin Timberlake.
No,
the Timber Snake.
No,
who? Kenny Loggins.
I interviewed him not too long.
He's great.
Garth Brooks.
God damn, Roping the Wind.
Is he problematic in any way? I hesitate. Hell I'm no. Like, okay, I was like, Garth has he done man. Anything? That's why I hesitated, because I was like, oh, I don't know if he's, I don't think so. I love Garth Brooks. I'm a big fan. I've been to his concert. Garth Brooks. I think that's it. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. Garth Brooks.
It's a tight one for me between three people.
Well, you can't name three. I'll pick. Who are the three? Go.
Sting.
Okay.
Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
And Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. Queens of the Stone Age is my favorite band.
Okay.
I gotta go with Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. All right.
Changed my life. Kurt Cobain changed my life. I had a real grunge era. You know what I mean? I was looking down like this.
Were you wearing like
yeah
the clothes as well?
Yeah, I
wore. Like, did you have like
the fucking thing on my neck? in fucking Terry Latham's house wearing something on you? No, fuck no, nigga.
You said you dressed like
I dressed like them in terms of like wearing the shit, you know, and it was kind of weird because I was like a chubby grunge kid. So like you had to get a big flannel for it to be loose. You know, shit, my fucking jeans all on the dirty Louisiana ground. And then I did my dad one day was like, you see this? This is over. He was like, I never told you this story. I never told you the story of my dad finding the lyrics to Pearl Jam's Jeremy in my pocket. Bust this. So I had printed out the lyrics to Jeremy and I had them in my pocket. And I don't know why I had the lyrics to the song in my pocket, but I did. I printed out the lyrics and I had them in my pocket. And my dad comes in. And my dad looks at me and goes, come here, boy. Come here. I'm like, all right, come here. Sit down. And he pulls out the lyrics. He goes, what is this? And I was like, it's a song. What you mean it's a song? It seemed like some sacrilegious shit to me. I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, why he gnashed the teacher's breasts? Why he gnashing? You know what I'm saying? That happens in the Bible, the gnashing of teeth. Do you know what this means, boy? This gnashing that you speak of? I'm like, what are you talking? What are you talking? Gnashing teeth? What are you talking about? Hey, am I to understand that whoever Jeremy is blew his fucking brains out at the end of the song? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like he committed suicide, like in the song, like, you know what I mean. He didn't even he had to deduce that because Ebony told him about the video. Ebony ratted me out, and he killed himself with a gun at the end of the song. She ratted me out, and this nigga said like I had an electric guitar, all this shit got taken away.
Oh, you did?
I was trying to be in a band. The band Guillotine. With me, Joe Santahegan.
It needed to stop.
Yeah, guillotine
was stop. Wait. I wasn't as deep of in a grunge phase or anything like that, like you, but I was walking around the house and I was like singing Limp Bizkit. And I was going,
great stuff.
I did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. And my dad goes, what did you say? I didn't know what nookie meant.
Oh, wow. So you can take that cookie.
I didn't know. So my dad, yeah. And I was like, so you can take that cookie and stick it up. Yeah. Because it was really like, and my dad was like,
what the fuck are you on right now?
The judge. Mm-hmm. I asked him that the other day. Do you remember that? I was like, you remember I was singing the lyrics to that song? It's like the time that I said, man, I have to empty up all my bank account to go see Otis Redding perform. And my dad goes, Rachel, he's dead. And I cry, I mourned him.
Passed away.
I mourned him that day. I mourned him that day. Rachel, he died in the 70s or 60s. I can't even remember. 77.
Okay, one more, Donnie.
All right. Let's go with Dex_07H. If you needed to be remembered for something, what would you want that to be?
Soup kitchen.
Mm.
I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, that's a good one.
That's just kidding.
I was about to say, that's a good one, man.
That's too deep. I gotta really think about that. That's really deep.
That is deep.
And I can't go there right now. Not after singing about the nookie.
Yeah, I don't think that I've done anything yet to be remembered by.
Because it's not a moment. I would really need to think about that. Because that's like a legacy question. Can we do another one?
Yes.
Do another one. Do another one.
All right. Amanda Bake or Baki 15 asks, best book you both read this year? ?
Oh, without a doubt, it's Miss Me With That. Miss Me With That. You know,
real tears.
It changed my life. And since then, niggas been missing me with that bullshit. They know, miss me. I'm gonna be honest with you.
What?
I was a cold whore before I read Miss Me With That. But after I read it,
as if
I became a bad bitch.
As if
I became
that
a bad bitch.
I hate you.
After I read Miss
My target that. Audience. As if that was. Well, then obviously mine is fat, crazy, and tired.
Oh!
Obviously.
Okay. All right. You have an unexpected ally of the week?
I mean, I'll just do a throwback to the White House Twitter account.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
White House Twitter account, putting people in.
I mean, we could go there as to why some of these politicians got such big PPP loans, but we won't. We'll just acknowledge the fact that you were calling them out for their hypocrisy.
Before we leave, Kanye West. Kanye West is dissing people. He's going crazy again.
On my what?
My kids are going on Instagram. My kids are going to Donda. They're not going to Sierra Canyon. Then he says, Charlamagne the God and Chris, get your motherfucking popcorn. And the, can you please stop? No, we need to talk in person. You don't have an say to where the kids go. Why you get say? Because you have. Why you get say? Because you have white. From my mom, please. Please tell him to stop mentioning my name. I'm almost 67 years old and don't always feel great. And this stresses me to no end. Y'all don't have so-so over my black children and where they get to go to school. They will not do Playboy and sex tapes. Tell your Clinton friends to come get me. I'm here.
What are you reading?
This is Kanye West on his Instagram. Don't let Chris make you do Playboy like she made Kyle and Kim do. Hollywood is a giant brothel. Pornography destroyed my family. I deal with the addiction. Instagram promotes it. Not going to let it happen to Northie in Chicago. All right.
Kanye.
You all caught up on the latest news, baby. Okay. Take your thinking caps off, but do not stop your kids from going to Sierra Canyon. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Crazy ass world. Oh my God.